John LaSalle is an insect taxonomist whose research career has covered the taxonomy and biology of parasitic wasps and their importance to biological control, sustainable agriculture, and maintaining ecological balance in ecosystems. John is also the director of the Atlas of Living Australia, which contains information on all the known species in Australia, which is aggregated from a wide range of data providers, such as museums, community groups, individuals, and universities.
The Atlas of Living Australia is a national collaborative project that is using world-leading information management technology to deliver data about biodiversity. You can find out what lives in your neighborhood. You can find out information about any species in Australia. And we really want to change the way environmental management occurs in Australia. The Atlas is helping to ensure that future generations will be able to enjoy and benefit from Australia's remarkable biodiversity.
What are some of the big challenges that face wildlife in Australia, and how best are these communicated to the public, in your opinion?
Well, I think the challenges that face wildlife in Australia are the same, the big three that face wildlife everywhere in the world, and these are global change, which includes climate change but isn't restricted to it, habitat destruction, and invasive species. Mm. And all three of these can have a horrible effect on Australian wildlife.
Yeah. Sorry, please.
Go, please.
Oh, no, I was interested in you. Keep going.
In terms of communicating these to the public, I often get very disappointed with some of the doom and gloom people that come in and they just talk about these things as massive problems where there's no hope. And I think it turns off public engagement. I think what we need to do is have a communication strategy that explains the challenges and then provide some practical steps for trying to make things better. Perhaps some ways that we can engage the public in doing things within their power to improve the situation. I think this would not only help to save the problems, but it would raise the profile of the issue, engage the community, and hopefully at some point might build a groundswell that could influence policy or decision-making.
Yeah, I get incredibly depressed when I think about Tasmanian devils, for example.
But there are probably simple things that people can do around the Tasmanian devil that might make a difference. Mm. I think that instead of just saying they're doomed, there must be some practical things, small steps that we could take.
Oh, that's good to hear. So what do you think has had some of the greatest influence, either positive or negative, in science communication in Australia?
To me, it's just this amazing quantity of information available for public consumption. Yeah. And that coupled with novel ways of discovering and delivering this information. I think if you look at the ages of man, you've got Stone Age, Iron Age, all this stuff. I think we are well and truly into an information age, where there are large amounts of information which are freely available to everyone. One example of something that's really influencing is the internet, where you could just, and the search engines that are on it, where you can just go in and basically find anyone can find out something about anything very quickly.
Yeah.
And it changes. I mean, Wikipedia is an example of a community-based information source where people, actually anyone can come on and contribute, curate the information in it. And it's basically built by the community. It's an amazing thing. The downside to all of this, I really think, if you want to talk about a negative point of this, is that not all of the information that is available on the internet or through the web is accurate or represents a mainstream view on the subject. Whether it represents a mainstream view has upsides and downsides, because at some point every scientific advance will have deviated from a mainstream view. But there's a lot of information out there that's probably a bit suspect.
What are some of the developments that excite you when it comes to communicating science, particularly in your field?
Well, the things I think that excite me aren't as much around the communication itself.
Yeah.
Well, they are, but in the simplest sense, you could think of communication as an us telling them model, which I really don't like. What I prefer is to try and come up with a model for two-way communication, where it's actually an active exchange of ideas that provide mutual benefit. I'm very excited around the concepts of citizen science, of crowdsourcing, of creating virtual laboratories and things like that. But where both sides are increasing their knowledge and skills in a way that contributes to both.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important for everyone to be educated and improving their skills, not just putting in data.
I agree. I don't think the idea of, look, we can go out and crowdsource 10,000 technicians is really where we want to be in terms of citizen science or communicating science. What we want to do is be engaging those 1,000 or 10,000 people in such a way that they're learning more about science and at some point helping us do better things, helping us do science instead of technical things.
Yeah, I agree. Well, finally, the Big Science Communication Summit has five themes that it's going to be investigating during the event. Which ones interest you the most?
As you can probably tell from my previous comments, it's a two-way street engaging all Australians in sciences. I find this very exciting, the idea that, if nothing else, just raising a public appreciation of science and scientific methodology. Mm. So, you know, maybe opening that black box a little bit to that there are ways of doing it and there are ways of looking at data. And it's not such a huge mystery after all, getting some engagement.